Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here to kick off the 4th of July weekend here in the United States of America. Ricky joins me today, and we kind of do a two-part show. We talk about all the announcements that were made last week regarding the 50th anniversary down at Walt Disney World. And we discuss why Disney made these announcements and what announcements could still be coming and what could be modified as far as these new fireworks shows, the statues, the other special events coming for the 50th anniversary. Then we hop into our main topic and we talk about where you can find distinctly American experiences at Walt Disney World that are not your typical distinctly American experiences. You'll see what we mean when we jump into today's show. Don't forget today's podcast brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your travel needs to your next Disney destination. They are the best. They care about your trips and they're going to get you the best rate every time. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. It's one extra click and a free way to support the show. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you very, very much to our patrons for allowing us to put the show out there 3 or 4 times every single week. It's because of our patrons. And our patrons get a bonus podcast called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like more information, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1926 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior and most patriotic agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Yes, this is the most patriotic Friday of the year because we are headed into the 4th of July weekend. And to all of our international listeners, this is our weekend. This is where we celebrate our freedom here in the United States of America, and we shoot off fireworks, we barbecue, and we eat good stuff. A lot of ice cream this weekend. We talked about ice cream last Friday. Get it on this weekend. Ice cream all around. Doesn't matter what kind. We actually make a pie. She makes this peanut butter pie. Ooh. It's got like peanut butter, and it goes in the freezer, and it's got whipped cream on top, and it's red, white, and blue kind of thing. Of course, it's got like black for the pie crust, but oh, it's so good. And we only have that on the 4th of July, so I'm already 48 hours waiting for that. So hope you're ready for a great holiday weekend. But today we're going to talk about uncommon places where we find patriotism at Walt Disney World. We're also going to hit some of the news that was announced last week because I haven't talked about it with Ricky, and she's here from themouseforless.com. What's up, Ricky?
Hi, I am ready to celebrate a fantastic 4th of July weekend. So got big plans and lots of fireworks and lots of fun and lots of food. So it's going to be a good weekend.
It is. Yeah. So you know where I live, right? Because where we used to live, we grew up in St. Louis County, right? Okay. Right. So fireworks were illegal in St. Louis County.
Correct.
Still are, always were when we grew up. Did we shoot off fireworks? Yeah, we did every year.
Yes,
you know, cops can't get everybody, right? But the thing was, you had to go over to St. Charles County to get your fireworks because they were not allowed to be sold in our county. And it was right across the Missouri River. Well, I have now moved into said St. Charles County where fireworks stands are in every corner. There's one right across the street from our subdivision. There's like three. There's two actually across the street from my subdivision. They're everywhere. And we can shoot them off here. And, you know, it was always like you always wanted to live in St. Charles County when you're a kid. And it took me to be 46 to get to where I can, you know, I'm excited. Like, I get to shoot them off and have a good time. But now it's dangerous because, like, it's my house. Like, when I was a kid, I didn't care. You know, it was like everybody else's house. I don't want my house getting, you know, hit with a Roman candle. But we'll see how it goes Sunday.
I mean, it'll be a lot of fun, I'm sure. So you'll have it all ready and it'll be a good time. You're buying fireworks, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My brother-in-law, actually, he's coming up. We're having, you know, my sister-in-law is having her birthday party because her birthday is this weekend too. And so we always celebrate it on the 4th. So we're going to grill and have everybody over on the deck. We're going to throw, you know, bags and stuff and all that stuff in the backyard. But my brother-in-law, he's crazy. He's kind of like me. Like we kind of fight between being the funcle of all the nephews and nieces, right? We try to be the fun uncle. And so he apparently has a friend who owns a fireworks stand. And so he got the hookup. And so He texted me when we were down at Silver Dollar State. I just got a text. He said, I just bought enough fireworks to blow up your entire neighborhood. So, you know, so I'm just saying, you better be following me on Instagram Live for Sunday night, because it's going to be wild. I'm just saying.
I'm sure it is. So
what about Georgia? What's your status down there? Can you guys shoot off fireworks? I'd imagine so. No.
So there are fireworks buildings that are there all year.
Yeah, right.
So,
I mean, especially if you drive through like Tennessee, you see that one, like that. I think it's called like Alabama, Tennessee fireworks. Like, and it's a gas station. There's a Taco Bell there. I used to stop at that Taco Bell all the time.
Yeah, we have fireworks stands. Like, I mean, Mike fell. We have fireworks stands literally like on the road and like on near the road that we live on. So, I mean, seriously, and they're there all the time. I mean, it is a dedicated building to fireworks.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's legit there all the time. So yeah.
We just have tents and then they're gone.
Yeah, no tents. No, it's, I mean,
yeah,
air conditioned.
No, yours are like, you know, tourist, you know, destinations. Yeah. They're crazy. Yeah. I know, because we used to pass all those when we drove down. Okay, anyway, so let's hop in. We're going to kind of do a two-part show here. I want to get your feedback on the announcements from last week. We talked about those on the Sunday Night Live call-in show. Had so many calls, had great conversations. Scott was on with me. You know, we talked about the Disney's Enchantment coming to Magic Kingdom, a new fireworks show October 1st, same night that Harmonious is fine. We kind of knew this. We've all known this, but it's going to debut October 1st at the studio.
Brand new information. Epcot.
But we're going to get Ratatouille on that day. Also, we're going to get a kite show. Was it Kitemonious? Is that what it's called? What is it called? I forgot.
I feel like it should be Kitemonious because, you know, I mean, it feels like they're basically taking the kites.
Kitastrophe? What's it called? I can't remember.
It is called Kite Tales.
Yeah, like DuckTales.
Which is also a really dumb name. I don't know. Like Disney Kite Tales is what it's called.
When I was a kid, I only got the cheap kites and you did have to put a tail on. I always wanted like the Delta Wing ones, you know, the triangles. Yeah. No, I got the one that Ben Franklin flew and you had to put a tail on it or else it wouldn't say. Anyway, so when you heard those announcements, because we got the feedback from our listeners on Sunday night, and you probably heard the replay yesterday on the feed on the Thursday. But, you know, what were you excited about when it came to that? All that news that got dropped all at once.
So, honestly, I think the thing that surprised me the most was the Kite Tales thing. Because, you know, I wasn't really expecting, you know, Animal Kingdom to get that at all. Like, it hadn't been in my radar at all. So I'm really, really surprised that they're doing this. Now it looks like they're going to be doing it from, like they're going to do it several times a day. And I guess they're probably going to load the theater and then do it as like actual shows instead of kind of what I was thinking originally when it was announced was that they were going to, it was kind of going to be like the flotillas that they have right now, which are random and, you know, they just kind of happen. But it seems like this is going to be an actual show where they load the theater and then, you know, have the guests leave, you know, after the show is over. So that really intrigues me, you know, that they're going to have like this kind of caliber show for, you know, Animal Kingdom. I don't know. It's really surprising to me, but I'm happy that they're finding a use for that theater. Because goodness knows Rivers of Light just wasn't cutting it. So
we talk about this. That theater is cursed so far.
It is. I mean, yeah, it really is. I mean, what the Jungle Cruise show or the Jungle book
was
show?
So that bad.
That was so bad. And then Rivers of Light wasn't much better. No. And then you had the update to Rivers of Light. No. I mean, you know, again, not much better. So hopefully this does something. You know, hopefully a daytime show like this will be successful. So this is the thing that really surprised me the most, to be perfectly honest. Not super surprised about Harmonious, though. I mean, hello. If you didn't know it was coming out on October 1st, I mean, it just, all the signs pointed to October 1st. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest. I do think it's surprising, though, in a weird way that they are going to debut it and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure on the same day. Like, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of new stuff. That's big stuff.
For a big day, though. I get it because it's such a big day.
It's a huge day. So I get it. And it's also a little weird because, I mean, yes, October 1st is also Epcot's birthday, too. Epcot did open on October 1st. But, you know, it's the big Walt Disney World anniversary of 50th. So, like, you would expect something bigger to happen at the Magic Kingdom. Of course, they are getting their own show in Disney Enchantment, which, again, very weird name. I don't quite understand this name. This sounds like a cruise ship to me.
Exactly what I was saying. Yes, it's the sixth cruise ship.
Exactly. And I'm like, well, dang, now they can't use Disney Enchantment for their cruise ship because it totally seemed like the name of a cruise ship. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens because, you know, a lot of people have been saying Happily Ever After, you know, that's just now coming back. And now they're going to debut a brand new show on October 1st. And a lot of people were like, do you think this had been in the works a long time? And they're just like, okay, well, we, you know, this is for the 50th. And I said, yeah, I think that this probably has been in the works for a while. And they were planning on debuting it for the 50th. And it just so happened that, you know, COVID hit and it stopped the fireworks for a while. And I think that that's, yes, it's sad that Happily Ever After is only going to run for a short period of time. And then they're going to bring in this new show. But I think it's going to be an exciting show. They're going to, you know, obviously it's really cool that they're going to do it all the way, have projections all the way down Main Street USA like they do in Disneyland.
And I think that is one of the greatest parts about this new show is that it's, you know, we're in this area where, you know, this new era, post-COVID era, where, you know, while social distancing is kind of being phased out, when you think about, because we were there for the 40th, right? For the 40th celebration at the Magic Kingdom. I mean,
yes,
we're in there just jammed like sardines. Absolutely. And I'm sure we're going to be there the same way on October 1st. Don't get me wrong. 100%. It'll probably be worse. But with a show like this, you know, you wanted to see the projections at the castle, which meant you really needed a spot in the hub. But if you have projections on Main Street USA, it makes the area to see the show, it expands it all the way down Main Street USA, which opens up a whole lot more real estate, which lets people spread out just a little bit more.
Absolutely. I think that's key, is that I feel like with the projections going all the way down Main Street, it is going to open things up because the projections were so, if you were further down on Main Street, they were so hard to see.
They were,
you need to be perfectly honest. So you're like, what is that? I can't make it out. So I am really glad to see that they're going to utilize this technology. And it will be interesting to see. I have a feeling Happily Ever After is going to come back after.
So too. Yeah, I think this will be a special engagement.
It'll be like the 18 months. Then it'll be over and they'll bring back Happily Ever After. My hope is that when they bring back Happily Ever After, they will then use the projection effects down Main Street to enhance Happily Ever After too, of like, ta-da, we've made it even better, you know? So I am happy about that too. And that'll be interesting to find out if they end up, but I think Happily Ever After is coming back.
I agree. So. And I think they'll update the movies too by then, because they'll have a good break to kind of update well, then you have to mess with the score though. I don't know. Because I like the score.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. So
yeah, we'll see.
And then of course we have the Cavalcade, which duh. I mean, if you didn't see that there was going to be a special 50th anniversary Cavalcade, who wants to bet it's that stupid Cinderella Castle float?
I don't mind that float. I kind of like that float. I've seen a lot of races. It's always backstage.
I bet it's that float that they've had,
that,
you know,
silvery
for pretty much,
one?
I think it's been 50 years.
Yeah, it's probably 45. No, it's only been like 10.
No, it's been a long time.
It's a nice little float. I like it.
They've had that float for a long time. Yeah. But that's interesting. And then you've got, of course, the character sculptures, which there are going to be 50 of them throughout the four theme parks. So that will be, a nice bonus touch, too. And like I said, you know, you have Remy's Ratatouille Adventure that's coming out. And then you have the Beacons of Magic, which will also kind of enhance the nighttime shows, because you're going to have it debuting on the 1st. And you're going to have the icons, the glow, Cinderella Castle, obviously, Fireflies on the Tree of Life. Hey, this is something that's actually happening at Hollywood Studios. Yeah. They're going to have the Hollywood Tower of Terror have the Beacon of Light, or Beacon of Magic.
These Beacons of Light are what they're showing in the first Magic. Commercial, right? Yeah. When you see the commercial for the 50th, this is what they're featuring, is these icons being lit up. But I mean, when I saw the commercial, I was underwhelmed because I said, I saw the Tower of Terror like that at Christmas, you know, because it was projection and you can't tell in a commercial. I mean, these are going to, I think, be physical lights on the, because they are on Spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth, they are.
Lights. I don't know if they're all getting, you know, physical lights, but I mean, it's probably going to be projection, which is, I've seen that. You know, not that it's not cool. Yeah. It's amazing, but it's like, it's not new necessarily.
I agree with you, actually. It's from what they're describing, it doesn't sound like it's going to be new, you know, like new technology. It sounds like it's going to be exactly like you said, kind of what we've seen with projections in the past. I mean, you know, obviously Animal Kingdom, they've had magical fireflies.
Right,
on
right. Yeah. I mean, they've,
the
yeah,
Tree
what's,
of
it,
life
what's it called? The Awakening. Yeah.
Exactly, forever. So, I'm not like
It's still 100% cool. It's cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, but it's not brand new, you know, and they're going to have all these new things. But I mean, and I guess the average guest, they're not going for us in that commercial. The average guest, that is kind of pretty cool, right? I mean, they've never seen that probably. They've probably never seen projections on the Tree of Life. You know, it's neat.
True. Exactly. So, I mean, it's going to be a really, really cool time to be at Walt Disney World. I'm so excited that we're going to be there on the 1st. You know, we're going to be at the Magic Kingdom on October 1st. And then I know I'll be at Epcot on the 2nd.
Same.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we'll all be together probably because that's how we are. So.
That's right. Yeah. And I'll be crying when I see my first enchantment. Then I'll be crying the next night when I see Harmonious. I'll be like, there's two ways I'll be crying on the 2nd. One, because Harmonious was so awesome. Or because... We lost Illuminations for this. I'll be crying harder. I'll be sobbing. So I'm just saying, either way, I'll be crying on the 2nd. So just know.
One way or another.
Bring Kleenex if you see me. Okay. Yep. So, you know, exciting announcements though. And they kind of dropped this and it was really an exciting time because it is a momentous time. And I think, you know, we limited time magic, you know, they probably say everybody probably assumes an anniversary means a year. If you're not a Disney fan, you know, if you're a Disney fan, this means a minimum of 18 months, could be 22.
Correct.
We don't know, but it gets us, you know, and the thing we talked about on Sunday night, too, was that October 1st is right around the corner at this point. You know, it seemed like the 50th was like, oh, it's that date way off in the distance. We're talking less than 4 months at this point.
I know. It's kind of crazy. Like, I've been dreaming about this day for 10 years. You know, like I said, we were at the 40th where, you know, the hashtag Disney Anarchy got created by us because, like, seriously, it was just insane mass of people. But I said, when we were there at the 40th, I said, I will be here for the 50th. I said, there's no way it's not happening. And I made sure I was there for the 50th. So I did everything I could possibly do to make sure that I was there. So it's a very important date for me, you know, and all of the Disney community to try to be in the parks. And so I'm very excited and happy that we're going to get to experience it because there's just something so... Yes, it's Disney Anarchy, but there's something also so special. There's an electricity in the air on those days, you know, that you really can't put into words. So I'm super, super stoked about being there on the 1st and getting to experience everything that, you know, Disney's going to throw at us.
And so. I am totally with Wade and totally with Aaron in the live chat that the Magic Kingdom needs a nighttime parade. And I'll say that because and I know it causes congestion and it's a logistical thing and it's a night. Whatever, because the thing is, it could be done because it was done for years and years. And when I think back over my favorite memories from the last 50, of course, I wasn't there until, you know, in the last like 15, that's where my memories come from. But my greatest memories are nights with my, you know, my wife and nights with my girls, you know, after we had spent a whole day in the parks, did some swimming back at the hotel, had some great meals, fireworks and sitting there in Spectral Magic. That soundtrack, I mean, instant nostalgia. Main Street Electrical Parade too, but Spectral Magic especially, like the greatest memories of summer for me are just sitting down watching a parade at night.
Okay, so here's a thought, and I haven't really thought this before. I don't think they're going to bring back a parade. I mean, I really don't for nighttime. And, you know, obviously they announced the cavalcade for the 50th. So I don't think they're bringing back a parade for the 50th as well. You know, as of right now, there's not a parade in mind. And they would have been talking about a parade right now if there had been.
I'm saying they need one. I'm not saying we're going to get one, but I wish they would.
What may be interesting and would be really cool to experience and would tie into what you're talking about is what if they did have special nighttime cavalcades for the 50th. Now that would be cool to get to experience is, you know, nighttime cavalcades. You know, they can do it with, you know, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party floats and Mickey's, you know, Not So Scary Christmas Party or Not So Scary Party floats. But, and I don't know if they have nighttime floats readily available at this moment. I know obviously Paint the Night is something that they probably, that would be the easiest thing to grab.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to see that.
You know, just to bring like a few Paint the Night floats from Disneyland and bring that over to Walt Disney World and use those for the 50th as a nighttime cavalcade. I feel like that would be extremely special. I don't know if that would be something that they would do. And obviously I'm pretty sure that they won't. But darn it, Disney, that would be a great idea. And that would make so many people happy because then you'd bring that back, that nighttime parade function that so many people crave. So,
yeah. I mean, the only difference between a cavalcade and a parade is the length of the thing. And I would, I think the cavalcades are great during the day. And I like your idea for at night too. But I just think the whole spectacular. And again, this is just because when I came in, my day surrounded around, you know, at night, we're going to be at a park. This was even back in the, I ended the day at Epcot with Illuminations and Tapestry of Nations or Tapestry of Dreams. And it was just, it was perfect. I mean, it was perfection because you would ride rides in the day, you would swim, you'd have breakfast, you'd have lunch, you'd do some more rides, and you'd have dinner. You might sneak in a couple rides, and then you just wound down with a parade and fireworks like nobody else could do them. Disney could only do a Spectro Magic and a Wishes, or, you know, an Illuminations and a Tapestry of Nations. It was so unparalleled. You could only get that at like one place on the planet, and it was just amazing. And Disney could do it again. I mean, I wouldn't mind a nighttime cavalcade, but I want the whole parade. Because, I mean, we saw today, I mean, just earlier this week, Universal's bringing back parades right now. I mean, let's do it. They announced it.
I just think that
it's work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of logistics, but they're Disney. They could if they wanted to.
It is. Yes, I think that that's the problem. And the fact that it's so they have to the parks are granted. I mean, the reservation system has helped this a little bit, but the parks have been over the past few years so busy, you know, before COVID, that nighttime, Main Street is just packed with people. So I think that may have been part of the reason why they didn't bring back a nighttime parade. It's just, it was so jam packed. I mean,
think of the Magic Kingdom now, though. They have that back road, like
they had to create the back alley,
but that would be perfect for a parade now because you have an overflow way to exit.
You do. Yes. So, I mean, yes, I do think that they could do it. But logistically, I don't think that they're ready. I don't think they're ready yet,
but I'm saying if they did that, I would just be,
and everybody else. Oh,
I'd be so excited.
I don't care about parades most of the time.
I know. And it's fine, you know, cause that's a great time. If you don't like parades, you can go ride rides. I get it. That's a perfect time. But man, I told you, Lost Coaster, I don't need that. Like, just give me Spectro Magic. You know, I'm at that age. Yep. I don't need my guts rattled around by a dinosaur. Anyway, okay, so let's hop into the main topic. That was fun, though. Yes. That was kind of fun to catch up on that stuff.
Of course.
And hopefully everybody else is, you know, give it, like I said on Wednesday, you know, dinner tonight. Drop this on your family and see how they feel.
We're going to have a lot more conversation about the 50th, too, because more and more news is going to come out about the 50th. And it's going to be such a huge event for Disney. I mean, you know, trust me, this is not the end of 50th anniversary talk and what Disney's got coming up their sleeves. So, yeah.
Don't wear long sleeves. It'll be too hot.
I'm wearing October them now. 1st. It's definitely hot.
October 1st, no, short sleeves. Anyway, so it's hard to hide things that way, though. But anyway, we are going to jump in for the 4th of July. We've done many shows. This is the problem. When you've done a podcast for 13 years, we've done patriotic stuff at Walt Disney World probably 12 times. So today we're going to do it a 13th. We're going to modify it slightly. So we're going to talk about the places we find patriotic, but in a weird way, at Walt Disney World. Not your necessary, you know, not necessarily your normal things that you think of. And we had, somebody in the chat earlier was posting, you know, some of the very patriotic things at Walt Disney World. Of course, if you're going for pure patriotism, probably the most patriotic thing at Walt Disney World is the flag retreat ceremony. They're not doing it right now.
Right.
But you can see that in Town Square under normal times. Liberty Square in general, very patriotic. The American Adventure, you know, just there's all kinds of Carousel of Progress in a strange way. But my first thing I'm going to throw out there that I find patriotic, and I'll be celebrating this on July 6th, it's the Pop Century Resort in general. And let me just tell you why. You don't think of, like, there's not a lot of United States flags, you know, floating. And, you know, you don't see Sam Eagle a whole lot over it. And Sam Eagle's the bomb. I love Sam Eagle. You got, we have a glorious 3-hour finale. You got 30 seconds.
You got a minute and a half.
I used to have that. That was my favorite thing to play on Magical Mouse Radio was that bumper at the 4th of July. When I made that one, I played it over and over because I cracked myself up that I made that bumper. It was so funny. I'll have to find that maybe and plug that in somewhere. Anyway, but Pop Century, back to Pop Century. I'm way off topic today.
Yes.
Pop Century, though, it's a celebration of pop culture. But when I think of my America, right, I grew up in, you know, the 70s, the 80s. That was my childhood. And so many of those things, and they might not necessarily be American inventions. We were talking about this before we started recording, like the Rubik's Cube, I'm pretty sure was not invented by an American. I think it was a German. So it was somebody from the Netherlands, as I recall, you know, was not an American. When you think of like the Nintendo, obviously Japanese, But you know, you see all these Pac-Man, for example, Pac-Man's all over Pop Century, not really an American invention, but it's the American pop culture. And that's what I celebrate. So when I think of, you know, a weird way to celebrate America, when I'm at Pop Century, man, I feel super American because that's the America I grew up in. And those, like when you see a Thriller album in a Shadow Box or an Apple IIe or Simon, that old game where it would
boop,
and you'd keep up and it stressed you out. Those kind of things are that's my America. That's what I grew up in, you know? So Pop Century is a strange way, very patriotic to me. And I'll be there on July 6th, next Tuesday. So what do you got? What do you think of something that's kind of strangely American?
Well, you kind of stole it in a weird way. It is the Muppets. It is Muppet Vision 3D. I mean, the Muppets are, in a weird way, so American. So, and of course, you have that section at the end where they are literally celebrating all nations, but mostly America. I mean, the whole thing is super American, you know, and patriotic to me overall. But then you throw that in there and it just goes overboard. But again, like I said, the Muppets in general are just so American to me. I mean, you know, back when, you know, they started and you know, the Muppet Show and everything like that. Like, it's just they've weaved their way into Americana and being such American icons. You know, Kermit the Frog, obviously, is so well known. To me, that's just like Muppet Vision 3D is so patriotic, even without, you know, Sam Eagle and his, you know, salute to all nations.
He's the best.
3 minute, you know, 3 hour finale. That's a minute and a half. Like, it's just, I don't know. That whole show is just distinctly patriotic to me.
Yes. You are not Mickey Mouse.
You are a rat.
You are a rat.
Oh, the pre-show. Yes. The pre-show is the best. I mean, ever since COVID, and I feel like before, a little bit before COVID, they were allowing guests to pretty much see the whole pre-show. But I feel like now with COVID, they really are, you know, they're spacing things out.
They kept us in there. We saw the whole thing in May.
Yeah. Guests really do see the whole pre-show now at this point, which is huge. I mean, there are so many great jokes in that pre-show. That pre-show is basically, it's an attraction in itself.
In that one, okay, this is gonna be a hot take, but the pre-show might be better than the actual show. The show is good,
but
I mean,
you,
they almost be like, they're almost equals. It's pretty good.
100% agree with you, because I'm not like super in love with Waldo. Like, I can take
Waldo.
Yeah,
I don't
Waldo.
Like Waldo. You're right. He's weird, and he's not a Muppet.
He's weird,
and he's not a Muppet.
No, the whole rest of the show is great to me. Waldo's a little unusual and off, but that's okay. But yes, if you add in like the pre-show by itself and just watch the pre-show, it is hysterically funny. And I mean, it is definitely an attraction in itself. And if you have never seen the entire Muppets pre-show, please, please go watch it. It's hysterical. So,
and my goal in life is
Chuck,
that someday
Chuck.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
so
funny.
I laugh every time.
I know. That is so
fun.
It's so stupid. But it, yeah, my goal in life is when I'm older, you know, Scott and I'll just be Stadler and Waldorf, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, we pretty much are already, so it doesn't really matter. Okay, yes. So the next thing I have on my list, and Tom, actually, in the live chat mentioned the Walt Disney World Railroad. Absolutely. That is so American. That is, I love trains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the other thing I'm going to say is just Hollywood Boulevard at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and the whole Hollywood Boulevard. And even, I guess you could say Sunset, because it's kind of all Hollywood. But when you think about that, you know, there's Bollywood, I guess, in India. I'm not into that kind of movies. I'm not into that scene. I've never been to India, but Hollywood is distinctly American, because I think when the other parts of the world think of the United States of America, they probably think of, you know, the golden age of Hollywood, you know, the old movies, the talkies. And I just love when you're walking down Hollywood Boulevard, you have a 5 and 10, right? And you're younger than me, but I do remember places like Woolworths. You probably don't. Because you're younger. But the thing is, like, that is where I grew up. Right? I didn't grow up like in the 40s and 50s. But the thing was, my grandparents did. And they told me all those stories about, you know, the glitz and the glamour. And those were their movies. And those were their movie stars. And I just think, especially at night on Hollywood Boulevard, when you see the neon pop out. And, you know, if you're anybody that's into like classic movies, I mean, that's distinctly American. Like, we really kind of started all that, and that belongs to us. So in a strange way, Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset, kind of in a lesser sense, is, you know, that's very American, very patriotic.
I absolutely agree with that. I think You know, I never really thought about it until you mentioned it, but it is extremely patriotic and American, and you're not going to get that, you know, Hollywood that never was anywhere else. And so There's definitely something, and especially like around Christmas when they start bringing out those unusually ungodly, weird, you know, children that are
they're awesome. Or those ceramic, what are they called? Those spaghetti noodle poodles or something?
Those are so great. Because
my great-grandma had those. I know.
Like, it gets even more American at the holidays. I mean, really, seriously, you've got the tinsel of Tinseltown, you know, on the street lamps and everything. Like, it just screams 1950s Christmas, which just screams American to me. I don't know why.
And the music, right? The music is so, it's not your, like, you know, John Philip Sousa. You know, it's not a march, but this is our music. It's a lot of jazz, and jazz is an American invention. You know,
no, that's absolutely true. Yeah, and if you want to learn more about jazz, I'm gonna totally tie this in. It's not part of what I was going to talk about, but they do have a fantastic exhibit in the American Adventure Pavilion right now. It's all about, I think it's called The Soul of Jazz. It's themed after the movie Soul, and it talks a little bit. You know, they have Joe Gardner, who's the main character, and he kind of like explains a little bit about jazz music in various different places around mostly America. Well, I mean, all of America. You know, that's kind of the cool thing. You know, they take a look at how jazz has really evolved throughout the years, as well as how it's evolved throughout different sections of our country. So that's kind of a cool thing too. If you haven't stopped, the exhibit is in the main room. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty easy to see. But you know, if you haven't stopped and looked at it, it's really cool. And they do have some really neat artifacts as well of things that, you know, like, I think there's a trumpet from Louis Armstrong.
Oh, God, I love Louis Armstrong. My favorite all-time song, What a Wonderful World.
Yes.
Top favorite song ever. That's it.
So, and then there's another exhibit as well in the American Adventure Pavilion. I believe it's still themed around Native American artwork, which is another really great, if you haven't looked at that exhibit, please do. It's a very fantastic exhibit that they have. And that one's it's a little bit harder to know that it exists because it is in its own separate room. But it's a really, really cool exhibit that you really should make sure that you see. So, but that wasn't where I was going to go.
Okay, then go.
Where I'm going to go is something that I think a lot of people are going to hate. and that is actually Dinoland USA. I mean, it's got USA right in the title right there. But it really is themed around, you know, that old, you know, drive-in, you know, to your destination, roadside attraction themed area. It hits it extremely hard and very realistic, which is why I think a lot of people don't like it, because it does feel a little kitschy and a little tacky if you want to go there. But it really is like that old roadside attraction of America, of, you know, driving Route 66 type thing.
Yep, yep.
Like, that's really what it was about. So, you know, it's, and, you know, look, I know, you know, like, I really want to win one of those stupid, you know, dinosaurs that they have now. Like, they brought out some really great prizes for their games.
Those games
like,
are normally, for suckers. You got to be good.
Exactly.
At
games are for suckers. Things. I normally wouldn't want to play a game, but I really want one of these dinosaurs or the Mickey that's themed after Dinoland USA. So I think that those are really cool, and I'm a sucker. So, you know, I think it's really awesome. They have the shop there that's really cool too. Go and explore the shops that they have. They are all decked out, very Americana. You've got, of course, Restaurantosaurus that's there too, which is, you know, and a couple of other restaurants that are themed on like Airstream trailers and stuff like that. It's just, it's very Americana. You know, just maybe not everybody's favorite, you know, place to visit at Disney's Animal Kingdom. But if you really look at it, at its face value, it is extremely Americana.
Well, I mean, dinosaurs were only in the United States, so I mean,
yeah, of course, that's the only place the dinosaurs
I mean,
are.
It was weird, like they did not go across the 49th parallel.
No, they didn't go anywhere else. They're just here in the USA. Yeah, that's
no, but
it.
You're right. Nowhere. I mean, especially if you're like in the Midwest or the Southwest, you know, you traveled. You mentioned it, the Route 66, you know, because I don't think Europe doesn't have like the road trip tradition that we have, or Australia or Japan. Like that's kind of our jam as Americans. And you, especially like I drove down to Silver Dollar City and I saw there's some place like halfway to Silver Dollar City from St. Louis. It's like south of Rolla on Interstate 44. It's like a UFO kind of like little mini theme park. I mean, it's like a Dinoland USA. And then there's a big candy store. It's crazy. You see the road signs forever till you get to it. Yeah, that stuff happens. All of our international listeners, you're like, it doesn't. Yeah, it does.
No, it really does. It really does happen. So it is 100% Americana, even if you don't like it.
All right, so my last one. I know it's we should have stopped at the UFO place, and of course there's like Elvis museums all the way.
Oh, of course, too. Yeah,
because he's there. Anyway, he's just older, but he's there.
Right, he's totally there. Yeah.
And he's distinctly American. but the last thing I have is just the boardwalk area in general, right? I mean, I don't think that while they may have, you know, places around the world may have, you know, wooden places to walk on, I think the idea of the boardwalk and the funnel cake there and the sweet ice cream and the pizza window, you know, I think that is kind of an American East Coast, Eastern Seaboard kind of. It's not just necessarily on the East Coast. I know they have them in like Long Beach in California, but the boardwalk, it's not just the wooden walkway itself. It's the culture of the boardwalk, right? Where you get all the carnival foods, the carnival games, the, you know, live musicians, live magicians, you know, entertainers, all that stuff. The environment of being there on a summer night. I think that's another place that feels very American, but also kind of specific to a part of America.
No, absolutely. You are 100% right. The boardwalk was actually something that I was thinking about, to be perfectly honest. And especially now, you know, they have updated the pool. So it's not the creepy clown anymore. So that's a little, you know,
Keister
a little better.
Coaster. That's a good
name. It's the Keister Coaster, and it's themed after Mickey Mouse and the newer cartoons. So that makes it a little bit better. But I was thinking about the boardwalk and how Americana that section is. Now, of course, the creepy doll chairs that are in the lobby are not something that you should, you know, seek out. But I know people
is that American? I mean, it's like an American Horror Story, right?
Exactly. That is totally American Horror Story. I don't know. You know? Yeah. But I definitely think that that you were right on the money with that. So that's a good choice.
So you have any last thoughts as we close this out with uniquely American things?
I do. So my last one is kind of going to it's going to tie into what we talked about last Friday. And then it's going to, you know, go into what we were talking about with hotels. But I feel like beaches and cream.
Yes, it is. Amen.
It's such an Americana like experience. You know, really going there and getting a hamburger. I mean, it's got to be. You can do a chili cheese dog too, but you got to get like either the hamburger or chili cheese dog to be super American. And then you've got the onion rings. You got to do onion rings. There's just something special. They do have really good tater tots. Not going to lie.
Tater tots are always the right answer. I've had tater tots like four or five meals in the last week.
Tater tots are a solid choice. Just saying. And then of course you bring in the ice cream and they have obviously they have the kitchen sink, which they are very famous for. You know, anytime you bring in just a vat of ice cream, basically. I mean, I feel like it's like the hot dog eating contest, you know, right. That they have on the 4th of July. Right. Like, I feel like there should be like an ice cream eating contest.
Yeah, I mean, if Joey Chestnut shows up to sit next to you, you're in trouble.
You're definitely in trouble. Yeah. I'm surprised there's not an ice cream eating contest for the 4th of July too. I think people would throw up, but.
Yeah. Brain freeze. It could kill you. Brain freeze. That's probably why they don't do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you get that. Or, of course, my favorite, the No Way Jose, which is just so amazing. You can't have anything better than chocolate and peanut butter. There's nothing more American to me than that. So, No Way Jose, of course, you've got a banana split as an option, too. But you have to get ice cream. It's, you know, it's distinctly unpatriotic, again, right, if you're not getting ice cream. And I'm just saying, like, beaches and cream is 100% just all American. And, you know, I feel like if you're not going there and celebrating America, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of other places we didn't hit. Like Alfred says 50s primetime. Totally agree with that. Tom says Casey's. That's 100% correct. But yes. Tammy's dropping the bomb here. Why does Beaches and Cream not have apple pie? Like, I mean, apple pie and Chevrolet, right? Baseball and Chevrolet.
It's an apple pie ice cream.
Apple pie ice cream.
Like, that would be really good. Or, you know, like an apple pie a la mode. Or, what if they took their
that'd be good.
What if they took a piece of apple pie, put it in one of their little bowls, then put ice cream on top, and then put like caramel sauce on top, and then whipped cream? That is a fantastic ice cream sundae. I'm just saying, this needs to happen. Disney, I am giving you ideas. Please take this one. I really put this one on the menu at Beaches and Cream. I'm just saying, it would be fantastic. Some sort of apple crisp. Oh. Like maybe you don't even have to do apple pie, but like an apple, like crumble crisp type thing on the bottom. Yeah. Just go with that. That would be amazing.
So it's not happening this weekend at Walt Disney World because it's already Friday, but you are free to use that idea at your cookout this weekend.
Yes, exactly.
Just saying. That's what you do. All right. Well, hopefully we got to share some time here, 40 minutes, got to talk Disney. Maybe we shared some smiles, some laughs, and got you thinking about your favorite place. That's always the goal of this show. But again, we love our country. Thank you to everybody who has served. I know it's not Veterans Day or Memorial Day or any of that, but every day we need to celebrate our folks who have served in the military because you're what makes our country great. And all those first line responders, you know, our police, our firemen, our paramedics, every doctors, especially this past year, nurses, everybody who's kept us safe. Thank you so much for making our country what it is. And happy birthday, USA. On
well
Sunday.
Said, Mike.
That's right. Well said. I'm like a human Sam Eagle. I try to think of myself. I'm not as blue, but I try to be. You know, he's my role model. He's the jam.
Don't have wings either.
That's true. But I've never seen him fly either. You know.
No. I can't say he'd probably be a good flyer.
Probably could, but I'm just saying. Anyway, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out. They'd love to help you with your next Disney vacation over at themagicforless.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. It really does help. Remember, capitalism is a great thing because everybody's trying to get money from us to put America. This podcast on. And so we need a little help too, you know, because that's just how it all works. You know, Be Live, they're always, you know, they're like, we love your show, but it's not free to host. And Podbean, same thing. Like, okay, whatever. Yeah. It's just how this country works. It's great anyway. So beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons. You guys allow us to do all this fun Disney talk 3-4 times a week. We sure appreciate it. If you'd like an extra podcast, it is very, I got to admit, Mike in the Midwest, a very patriotic look at my life growing up here in the middle of the United States. If you'd like to get in on that, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Again, follow immediately @beourguestmike. I forgot my handle. It's not my email address. It's @beourguestmike on Twitter and Instagram. I'm telling you, you want to follow this weekend because we're going to be shooting off some fireworks here. And then, of course, immediately heading down to Walt Disney World on Tuesday, where I'll be reporting everything that's happening down there. Of course, @beourguestpod and @RickyNibs for Ricky. And Facebook and YouTube, subscribe so you know when we go live. And don't forget, no live show this Sunday because we will be having fun celebrating the 4th of July here at the house. All right, we'll be back again on Monday with a great trip report. It's going to be a fun one. I've already recorded it. You're going to like it. It's going to put a smile on your face. I promise you. I had a great time talking to our guest on Monday. So until we get together on Monday, for Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a very safe and happy 4th of July. Happy birthday, USA, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause her